Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we are, jumping off an hour two. Welcome into the program if you're just joining us, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick, Mark Menard back at Master Control. Deuce is in the house, Saints color analyst and all-time leading rusher, Deuce McAllister. Deuce, how are you?
Doing well, Christian. How are you?
Good, man. Good to talk to you. Excited to have you for the hour. First off, the most pressing question, how's the golf game?
Work in progress. I'm a work in progress.
He's practicing, Christian, to try and get better.
That's all I can do at this point, Bobby. I mean, you know.
Hey, you enjoy the weather. You go out there to camaraderie. Come on, you
have to look at Bobby. That's my exercise.
Okay.
That's my exercise. So it's the camaraderie is great.
So you walk the whole course, Deuce? You're not in a cart or what?
No, I'm in the cart, but my game is so bad that I still ended up.
I exercise it a lot.
Yeah, I still end up with about 17,000 steps. So that tells you all you need to know.
Look, I shouldn't laugh. I'm sure my game is much, much worse. But hearing you tell the story that way, it's pretty entertaining. So the Saints get back to work this week and they're taking on the Carolina Panthers, who are 3-3. And Deuce, I would imagine when they're preparing for this offense of the Carolina Panthers, it's like looking in the mirror.
In a lot of sense, I think Sean Payton called it the difference between an iPhone and Android. You know, they're both great phones, but it's just your preference. And I think that's really what you have in these two offenses. Now, there are a lot of similarities. There's some things that, you know, the Saints will be familiar with, but there are some tweaks. I think what Joe Brady has done, he's changed it a little from the personnel that he had at LSU to fit really the personnel that he has in Carolina. And what I mean by that is some of the routes that you see with some of the receivers, and, you know, even when you look at McCaffrey not being available, a piece of their playbook, you know, really goes out of the window. I know they like Mike Davis. Yeah, they like Mike Davis as far as a running back, but he's not nearly the receiver that McCaffrey is. So, I mean, there's some subtle things that you see differently, but for the most part, I mean, it'll be good on good as far as the week is concerned when offense and the defense, when they go about practice.
Well, Deuce, it didn't surprise me when I looked at these final numbers, and kind of an old school game considering the points scored this season, whether it's high school, college, or professional in the NFL. Bears 23, Panthers 16. But I'm looking at that Chicago defense. They forced 3 turnovers. They sacked Bridgewater 4 times. So that's – and, you know, Teddy, a lot like Drew, that ball wants to come out. But he was held, that being Bridgewater, to a season-low 216 passing yards and also intercepted twice. I mean, that was something you got to give a lot of credit to that Bears defense. And the Saints do that, there's no way they can't win.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, the biggest thing when you look at it overall is you've got to get pressure on the quarterback. I mean, it starts with Teddy. And, you know, I know their offensive line, they've got a couple had a couple guys banged up, beat up or whatever. But, I mean, if the Saints want to have any success, you've got to be able to get pressure on Teddy and, you know, make him want to force the football, make him want to have to check out of a play. Maybe he's not seeing something clean as far as the defense is concerned, and you just got to get after the quarterback at the end of the day.
Now, Deuce, when you look at players who could be available or not, because the roster constantly changes, I mean, I think you are, I know I am for sure, a Kiko Alonso fan. I just look at, boy, he's hell when he's well. Boy, he's dealt with those knee injuries. But you look, he tallied 31 tackles, 3 tackles for a loss, 2 quarterback hits in the games last year with the Saints, and, you know, starting 4 of those. Now, they're going to have a time. He returns to practice. They have 3 weeks to decide whether to bring him back to the active roster.
21 days.
So, I mean, this to me, listen, I want Alex Azzalone to work out, and they've only primarily gone with 2 linebackers instead of 3, considering, you know, an extra DB, what they're bringing about. But does this maybe put some pressure on Kiko Alonso? I mean, putting Kiko Alonso in there, putting pressure on Alex Azzalone to perform, because he's been somewhat of a disappointment to me.
No, it doesn't. It gives you the option, because you know with Kiko Alonso, you can bring him along slowly, and I think the other part is, even with Alex, you can move him over to the strong side as far as strong, you know, the Sam linebacker, you know, a player that got the highest amount of snaps in the last game was Zach Bond. I mean, in our last game, he got the highest amount of snaps that he has had all year. And so you like what his development is. But for the Saints, it basically tells them, or it allows them, kind of like you said, Bobby, you've got 3 weeks to allow him to practice and kind of figure out what you want to do. If he's healthy enough from a roster standpoint, where are you roster-wise? Are you beat up at a certain position? You know, can we bring this guy in? Can we get this player cleared through? So they're not hurting at the position.
Right.
But in this league, things change in a hurry. And so, you know, if he's well and they feel like he's needed this week, they can use him. If not, they've got a couple weeks that they don't have to force him back.
Bobby Deuce and Christian here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, joined by Saints color analyst and all-time leading rusher, Deuce McAllister. We'll give you an opportunity to talk hoops. Pelicans hired Stan Van Gundy. Deuce, you like the hire?
I like the hire. I think anything that you know really about Stan, as far as coaching is concerned, he's done a really, really good job. And so from a defensive standpoint and just being able to grow offensively, that's one of the things that they definitely need. Now, we're not talking about Coach Van Gundy, the GM, you know, where he had the management roster up there in Detroit. We're just talking about from an X's and O's standpoint, being a really, really good coach. I really like that hire.
And, you know, Deuce, the bottom line is, you know, people say, like, oh, it's all about winning championships. Well, I don't know. You got to get to the playoffs before a year in and year out, before you get to a championship. And I think he could be that building block. For instance, you look at, like, household names.
It's about development at this point in time. If the Pelicans win a championship within the next year or two with the current roster that they have, it's like a rocket ship has launched us way into the future. And so right now, I still think they're in the development stage. I still think they're probably a superstar away from being added to that roster. And, you know, at this point, it's just getting those guys to be held accountable.
And you know, Deuce, when you look at Francis, look at the Clippers, it was kind of like championship or bust. They had an established guy in Doc Rivers. So they're taking a different approach, and they're going with Ty Lue. But I look at Coach Van Gundy and the respect with J.J. Redick, and look at his track record, how many games he's won. If you can even establish, and I know that you were going to games, I was going to games, even with Chris Paul, we never won a championship, but you were excited about Hornets basketball, you know, going way back, where you're in the playoffs every year. So can we establish, because first, baby steps, first things first, you got to get to the playoffs, then ultimately you want to win a championship. Van Gundy might not be the one to get us to a championship, but he would establish that winning atmosphere. And, Deuce, do you take the approach, I know you want to be entertained, but isn't winning the number one thing? And so what if you'd win, like I said, this 96-92, but you play an entertaining game and you lose 132-128? Well, wouldn't you take that low-scoring game, the bottom line, if you're winning or losing?
No, I definitely would. I mean, but at the end of the day, you want an exciting product, but you want a team to go out and play hard as well.
Right.
So I think that would definitely be important. You know, are they playing hard? You know, definitely, at the end of the day, you want to win. But, I mean, you want it to be a brand of basketball that's enjoyable as well.
And, you know, Deuce, when you look at what is your take on Zion? And obviously, I think we all like to eat. Come on, you're in the South. Listen, we like mama's cooking. And when I look at Zion, what was your take in the bubble? Because he was unbelievable defensively when you look at what he did at Duke and at times getting rebounds, getting steals. And he was a liability on defense. So I think even Van Gundy, because the respect, I think, would be there. And the bottom line is you can have a hard-nosed coach. And if you're winning, then players will respect you. So what is your take on the development of Zion right now?
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, for Zion is, A, you want to make sure he's healthy. And if he's healthy, then I think the conditioning will come. And so, you know, we know that he had really, I guess what you would call it, two procedures or at least the one procedure to start the season, and they wanted to take him slow. Then he had the family emergency down in Orlando that caused him to miss time. And so, one, you got to make sure that he's 100% healthy. And then from that standpoint, he's got to get in the best shape of his life. And this is different. I mean, because in college you have, what, 30 games, 35 games?
Right.
You know, and that's basically a half a season in the NBA. And so, you know, there were situations, I think, where he didn't play some of the back-to-back road games or back-to-back doubleheaders or whatever games that were in back-to-back situations. And so you want to get him where he's available for, you know, all 82 games, and or if he only plays in – 78 games, I think that's still a win, but I think it's, A, make sure that he is 100% healthy. And from there, you've got to push him to be in the best condition. And whether we're in the South or wherever we're at, you know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, he knows the level and the brand that he has. It's just not making effect in New Orleans or in Louisiana. He is not only a national, he's a worldwide brand. And so to capitalize on the branding that he could be as far as the superstar that he could be, he's going to have to be in the best shape of his life.
Do shifting gears back to football, Mike Thomas, you think he plays this week against the Panthers?
I do think so. You know, I am a little concerned with the hamstring injury that kind of popped up a little bit with Mike, you know, dealing with that ankle injury. It was something that came out today. He was a limited participant in practice. I do know just from having the injury, you do try to overcompensate. And then it was tough coming off of a bye week. If you haven't been conditioning the proper way, hamstrings are one of the things that you kind of suffer. But hopefully it's something that was just maybe just some tightness and they can get that worked out, stretched, loosened up, and he's able to go this Sunday, because he's definitely a weapon at some point, you know, that the Saints definitely like to take advantage of.
Now, you know, Deuce, I don't know, to me, just watching him, because I always like big people. I like big people who are dominant, and I love this name, Marcus Hunt. So now the Cincinnati Bengals signed the former defensive end to the active roster. But the short time that he was here, when he totaled four tackles, had a tackle for a loss, quarterback hit, but he blocked the field goal in the four contests that he played. But that's part of the game right now, considering we're dealing with the pandemic, whether you're on the practice squad as a veteran and then coming about. But, you know, Marcus Hunt was a guy they were counting on at the beginning of the season in that rotation.
No, and I agree, but I mean, you have to remember, you feel like that Sheldon Rankins is 100% at this point.
Right.
You didn't really know how that his ankle, Achilles, everything would hold up for him. And then Davenport was not in the lineup
available
at that point. Yeah, and so now he's back, and so it was going to be a situation where you're caught in numbers. They would have loved to have kept him. I mean, but you can only keep so many good players, and they had played the game where you can bring them up, bring them down from the practice squad. And, you know, since he has so many years as far as a veteran, you either had to leave him on the active roster. And it's just like, hey, look, we love you as a player. We feel like that you can help and contribute. But at the end of the day, I've got numbers that I don't have anywhere for you to go. And so you're happy that Hunt was able to sign with Cincinnati.
I mean, right.
But I think at the end of the day with the Saints, you've got to figure out a way to get pressure on Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, and so whether that's Cam Jordan, whether that's Davenport, whether that's Trey Hendrickson, whether that's, you know, Sheldon Rankins, David Onyemata, whomever, or even if it's one of the linebackers, DeMario Davis,
right.
You know, when they use that three down look and he's that fourth rusher, you know, they've just got to make sure that they can get pressure on the quarterback.
Now, Deuce, it's an open date bye week, and we all watch football. You want to get away, but I'm looking at that Tampa Bay Packers game, and, boy, it just seems like that Buccaneers defense is getting better. The top-ranked defense right now in the NFL and how they got after Aaron Rodgers, it seemed like he got off to a great start. He wanted to do the double-check, but the double-check came back to bite him. So to speak, where they sacked him five times, they intercepted him twice, one return for a pick six. They limited it to the league's highest scoring team to 10 points and 201 yards, only 52 yards after halftime. So that's why I think it was so important that we won that first game against Tampa Bay, because I think Tampa Bay Buccaneers aren't going away. That's going to be interesting to see the next time around we play them. Now, I know we got first Carolina, then you got the Bears, who are playing impressive, and then Tampa Bay. But Tampa Bay ain't going nowhere.
We'll get to Tampa in due time. We can't turn our eyes to that prize. We got to handle this prize
right,
first.
Right.
Because right now, you've got an opportunity to go 2-0 in your division. And so, but if you don't take care of that business, then it puts you in an even dire situation when you do go to Tampa, because now you're talking about you're at a 1-1 situation, and you get to Chicago, you know, it's an NFC opponent. Well, you've already
right.
lost to one NFC opponent, that being Green Bay. And so it'll start to work its way out. But for the New Orleans Saints, you've got to focus squarely on the Carolina Panthers, because they are a talented team. They're a young team, but they're a talented team. And so when you talk about a young team in that sense, you want to come out and you want to be aggressive early. Because if you allow that team to kind of hang around and stay around on the road, they'll beat you. They've got enough talent. They've got skill set outside on at the receiver position.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson from the Jets.
You got
right?
Robbie Anderson. Yeah, Robbie Anderson that came over from the Jets. He'll have all time highs as far as numbers. You've got Moore, former first rounder, and then you've got Curtis Samuel, who they use as a I don't want to call him a gimmick. He's a receiver, but they use him on jet sweep. They'll put him in the backfield. I mean, they just want to get him the ball. He's an Ohio State kid because he's fast. So you've got guys that you better be able to slow down as far as receivers are concerned, and you know you can't let that team hang around. You want to take any confidence they have, take it away early. You know, in the first half, first quarter, second quarter, you want to take that confidence away. Now, I'm not saying that you'll blow them out in the first half, but you want to take it away and let them know that they're going to be in for a long game, because if they get any type of confidence going, man, you're going to have to fight for four quarters.
Yeah,
and I
don't
mean,
fight.
Really fight. Oh, yeah, I'm that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you take the lead and they go away. Nah, you're going to have to really, really fight.
Deuce, would you be okay with the 3,000-plus fans that are going to be in the stands with the family members?
Man, I'm just happy to see somebody. I am so happy. I know we can't go and hug them. We can't give them dap with your hand, but I'm going to just give them the elbow. I just got to give them the elbow. New Orleans Saints fans, we miss you. We will be so happy to see some of you and hear some of you, because it has been very lonesome in the Superdome with – our 750 other friends that get to come
in. Well, it's like family members, but Deuce, I can tell you right now, you and Zach, now, you know, obviously you got to be professional and do the broadcast. If you see any fans that are not cheering and looking at their phones or taking a selfie and all that, then you got to stay home. We need fans like the Whistle Monster and all that Bobby, who's going to come and be loud and proud.
Bobby, the 750, they were so low and they were right up under us. We couldn't even see them.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so the only time we saw them was when they put them up on the scoreboard or the replay. And so the 3,000, I know they'll be in the lower bowl and they have to spread out. So we'll be able to see some of those fans. And I mean, it won't be like we got a great look at them. It'll be same type of deal. You'll see them on the video board. But I just want to hear some other people. That's all I want
to
do.
What I was getting to as well is those fans, should they so show Teddy Bridgewater some love before the
no
game?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, we're thankful for what Teddy did. I mean, and this is all pregame now. This is all pregame.
No, right, exactly.
You know, and but Teddy, when you come out there, we're going to be loud. We're going to hopefully make y'all have to burn a timeout or two, or y'all get a false start or two. And, you know, our 3,000, we're going to be strong. So, yes, they should show him some love. I mean, but when he comes out there for that first snap, then it's boo. And, you know,
we sack him. We all hoop and holler and we sack him and all that. So, hopefully that's the case.
Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Hanging out with Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. And Deuce, you mentioned obviously Teddy Bridgewater. How do you think he's playing? What kind of year do you think he's having? I think he's playing really, really well.
Oh, he's having an outstanding year. I mean, I think this is the quarterback that everybody thought that he would be when he was up in Minnesota. I mean, they have more of a vertical passing game now than they had up in Minnesota. But I mean, Teddy's playing really, really well, and so I'm happy for Teddy. I'm proud of him. I mean, because to be in that situation where you at one point it was a possibility for him to lose his leg, you know, and to be in that situation where you can overcome all that and, you know, you're able to come back to play a game that you love. And, you know, he'll tell you if you ever get to sit down and talk to him, you know, how blessed and fortunate he is. And, you know, it's not about Teddy anymore. It's about opening the door for other individuals. And so I'm happy for him.
Now, Deuce, when you break it down, and I know Sean Payton's aware of this, and when he makes a quote like, I think we're far enough in now the season where it's not a coincidence. The numbers aren't a coincidence. Coach Payton said that inside the 20-yard line red zone defense, we're allowing a touchdown, a staggering 85% in the red zone, the worst mark in the NFL right now. But I thought it was interesting. Then you even look at, okay, when you get close to goal to go, you know, inside the 10-yard line, the Saints were
100%.
One of four NFL teams allowing 100%. Come on, Deuce, you know you're not winning anything if you're not forcing field goals in those areas.
Right now we stink, Bobby. I mean, that we stink. We stink. We stink in the red zone. We stink, you know.
Goal line, goal to goal.
Goal to goal. I mean, and the worst part is teams are getting the third down and fourth down. I mean, you're doing a really good job on first and second down, and then
yes,
you allow teams to get the third down and they hit you with something that maybe just freezes one player. And that's all it really takes in a tight red. I mean, you get in the tight red zone or in that inside the five, all it takes is one player, and you know, it's just we've been bad. So hopefully we've been able to
address that.
Wash all that away, and you know, make sure that we got our eyes in the right places. I mean, because you can't continue to put yourselves in those situations. I mean, because you're reverting back to old defenses where you feel like you just got to outscore every opponent because from a defensive standpoint, you're not going to stop anybody, and we got talent to stop people.
Now, you know, Deuce, I'm looking at obviously. How do you have a game plan and you prepare, you know, to start the game in the first half, then you make halftime adjustments? To me, this is puzzling because it's not been in the past. I'm looking at the second quarter. We've been outstanding, outscoring opponents by 28 points. We have an advantage. But I'm looking at a third, fourth quarter. It's been basically by 14 points. We've been outscoring the third quarter and 14 points in the fourth quarter. So is that other teams making an adjustment at halftime and maybe we haven't answered that? You know, the chess match, what you're doing, because we've come out the gate pretty good. Overall, you look at the first half of our game plan, how we, what we're doing during the week. Boy, but it seems like at halftime, the opponent has had the edge so far in the season as far as scoring against us.
I don't know if that's necessarily, I agree with that one, because I don't feel like that we've scored enough in the first quarter. I mean,
yeah, it's 24-24, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that we've scored enough in the first quarter. And I think, you know, when you talk about at half, I think that you've made some adjustments. Now, you've gotten into some situations where you've given teams long drives and you may not have gotten the football back enough, you know, to kind of even that parallel out. But, you know, I think overall, you know, I would love to see us start faster as far as offensively, particularly where we're putting pressure on a team to say we've got to abandon the run, because these guys are already up 10-0. You know, this team is already up 14-0. I mean, because you think about it, Bobby, the last two games that we played, we were down 14-0, and then you're down what? You were down 17.
Right. The only thing, Deuce, I should have clarified that is that the second quarter, now this is impressive. If we do that every quarter, then we'd be undefeated. We've outscored our opponents like 28 points in the second quarter. So second quarter, first quarter, like you said, not so much. Third and fourth quarter, not. But the second quarter, we bounced back going into halftime, outscoring opponents by 28 points. So I should have clarified that.
Yeah, and so for us, I want us to start faster so right. We're not putting so much stress defensively or offensively where you feel like that every time you touch it, you got to score because you're not going to be in the game anymore.
Now, Deuce, what is the combination, because you being a running back, look, and it's almost like 50-50. People would be maybe surprised at this. Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray. Alvin Kamara, 50 attempts rushing. Murray, 44. Kamara averaging 4.7. Murray, 4.2 yards. And then as a team, we had 4.2 yards. So what is your opinion going forward as far as how we're utilizing the backs and having that balance? Because you can watch games right now. Look at the Chiefs, how many rushing attempts they had just the other night against the Bills. Then all of a sudden you're talking about not only 40-plus attempts, but way more than 40-plus attempts and to set the tone. Because we know it's a pass-happy league, but I even look at the approach with Kamara and Murray that almost say shame on the Saints if we don't have at least 30 rushing attempts considering the success we've had so far this season.
Well, and I think one thing that you'll see them do is just lean on that offensive line. Now, they got to get healthy. Teron is banged up a little bit, and Nick Easton is out, you know, concussion-wise. But you want those guys to get healthy. But I'm okay with the run percentage. You know, if I had a perfect world, it would probably be about 55% Alvin, and, you know, the other 45, you're going to Murray, unless you're really closing the game out, then you want Murray to finish those guys off. But I'm okay with how the runs are divided up in that sense. You know, what I would like to see is obviously them lean on that run a little bit more, particularly if those guys are healthy,
right,
offensive line wise. I mean, because that's where the juice is. That's where your money is as far as when you look at, you know, where you feel like that you have a decided advantage is with those guys up front. And so you've got to lean on those guys a little bit, you know, particularly you don't know the health of Michael Thomas. You feel like that you're getting a lot from Emmanuel Sanders. You got Cook back, and so that definitely helps you. You can get consistency out of Traquan. You know, I think that helps you. But you know the one constant, particularly if those guys are healthy up front, you feel like that you can run the football. And so very few times has that not been the case. You've had two games I know for sure that you had, and I think another one that you were right over 80 yards, but two games that you had over 100 rushing yards in the first half, you know, and so
right.
You did have one game that you went over 40 rushing attempts. And, you know, just to clarify one thing about that Buffalo game, they chose the lesser of two evils, and that was to say, hey, look, maybe they can't run the football against them because they felt like they couldn't stop Mahomes. So they felt like that, hey, look, maybe we will allow them to run the football a little bit.
And they got gashed.
They got gashed. And then you got to take in consideration the weather as well. You know, So what factor did that play in it? So it was an interesting concept, and they had a chance. They still had a chance to win it. You know, if they can complete a third down there at the end, but didn't work out. We'll deal with that beast later on as well.
Deuce, that's a wrap for you, man. Thanks for the time, and we'll catch up with you. Have a good call on
Sunday. All right, Deuce. Thanks, all right, man.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, this is Sports Talk here on WWL. Going behind enemy lines on the Carolina Panthers next hour. This is Sports Talk here on Saints Radio, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.